Women, Islam, and the New Iraq is the title of an article in the current edition of Foreign Affairs by my guest Isabel Coleman. She directs the Women and U.S. Foreign Policy Program at the Council on Foreign Relations and is working on a book about how the U.S. can advance the role of women in the Middle East. We invited her to talk with us about how Islamic law, or Sharia, is affecting women's rights in Iraq. You argue that in Islamic states, and Iraq is now one, that it's probably more likely for women to promote equality if they work within the religious context than if they work from the secular context, that like secular women don't really stand a chance in an Iraqi state. So if you hope to work toward equality, do it from a more liberal tradition within Islam.
Secular women in Iraq are incredibly important and have been incredibly important in raising issues, in pushing the thinking, in keeping women's issues forefront on the agenda. But I think if we pin all of our hopes on their ability to push for women's rights within Iraq, we will be disappointed. It's just, I don't think it's politically realistic within Iraq. There was a debate during the drafting of the Constitution over whether Sharia would be in or out of the Constitution, and very clearly, those who wanted it out lost. It's in the Constitution. It's very central to the Constitution, and public opinion in polls in Iraq and in many Muslim countries around the world indicate that the majority of people want Sharia. To assume that you can go in with a secular perspective saying, no, it doesn't belong there, I think is a failing proposition.
The Shia have 48% of the seats in parliament, and the majority of Iranians follow the Shia branch of Islam. So is there reason to think that the Shia in Iraq will want a similar interpretation of laws pertaining to women that the Shia in Iran have put into effect? And if so, what would that mean? What are some of the more restrictive laws in Iran?
Well, I think there is tremendous concern on the part of many Iraqis that is the direction that the country is going in, and that what you're going to have in Iraq is some type of Iranian-inspired theocracy, which would not be very good news, I would say, for women in that country. Right after the Iranian Revolution in 1979, 1980, within sort of 6 or 8 months of the revolution, one of the first things they did is make existing civil law null and void and put new Islamically justified laws in place that, for example, lowered the marriage age to 9. And child custody, you know, was a big point of contention for many women, particularly during the Iran-Iraq War, when fathers were killed and mothers not only lost their husband, but then suddenly lost their children to their dead husband's family, because the children at a certain age are then taken away from the mother and given to the father's family. And these are just two examples of laws that women in Iran found particularly onerous and fought through the legislative system to change, and they have changed them. And this is my point, that what we think of as Islamic law is really a series of laws that somebody has said, well, this is what how we should interpret our laws based on my reading or so-and-so, you know, whoever Islamic scholar's reading of the Quran. And it's changeable, and it does change, and it has changed. But there is concern in Iraq that the very conservative elements in Iran are influencing the situation in Iraq, and it doesn't bode well for women there.
Sharia is Islamic law, but where can we find it exactly? I mean, are there actual laws that are laid out within the Quran?
Well, that's part of the problem, is that Sharia is a body of jurisprudence that has evolved over the millennium. And there have been different Islamic scholars and Islamic jurists who have read the Quran and read the hadiths, the sayings and the doings of the prophet, and said, okay, from that we can determine that this must hold true or that must hold true. And over the centuries, different schools of Islamic jurisprudence have evolved. And from that, Islamic law has evolved. And there are differences among them. So there's a lot of room for selective interpretation and a lot of room for developing laws that you can claim fit within Sharia. And so it's quite fluid and evolving.
Are women more pressured now to wear a full body veil than they were under Saddam Hussein? And if so, what's behind that? Is that law now, or is it just pressure?
Yeah, you actually saw an increase in women wearing abayas, wearing Islamic headscarves, wearing Islamic dress throughout the 90s in many parts of the country, particularly the South. I think as Saddam Hussein found his own political base weakened after the first Gulf War, he catered to more conservative elements in society, and this is one of the results. You saw more pressure on women to wear abayas. And certainly since the fall of Saddam Hussein, you've seen it certainly around Iraq for a variety of reasons. One is clearly pressure. You know, I've heard many stories of Iraqi women being told they cannot attend classes at the university unless they're fully covered, and they're harassed and hassled in the street if they're not covered. And it's also, frankly, Iraqi women themselves choosing to wear it because it gives them a level of security. They feel like they're targeted if they don't have it, and they just want some anonymity on the street because the situation is so violent and insecure.
The Iraqi constitution says that 25% of the seats in the parliament have to be held by women. So I'm assuming that a minimum of 25% of the people elected to the parliament in Iraq are women. Can we assume that they support women's rights?
No, I don't think we can assume that they support women's rights in the way that you or I probably think of women's rights. The women who have been elected, and I think over 25% of those elected are women, and the way they implemented it was they had a quota and every third name on the list had to be a woman's name. But it is proportionate to the way that the parties are represented in parliament. So the United Iraqi Alliance, which is the Shiite coalition, they got 48% of the seats, so roughly half of the women in parliament are from that list, from the UIA. And they will toe a pretty conservative line. They will pretty much stay within their party platform. But it's unclear what they're going to do in terms of women's rights. The hope for Iraqi women is that you will see these conservative Shia women trying to find those more progressive interpretations of Islam, of Sharia, to accommodate a more modern role for women within Iraq.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Isabel Coleman is a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. Her article, Women, Islam, and the New Iraq, is in the current edition of Foreign Affairs.